Welcome to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite. We've got a great show for you today. We want to thank Solomon Wilcox for joining us yesterday and Peter Costas to go over some of the insights into golf and the swing itself and whether Phil Mickelson can ever right his own mental ship. But today we're going to talk with Jarrett Bell about the NFL, about the AFC versus the NFC, and we're also going to talk with him about the notion of whether a black coach is more effective, because it's showing so much, especially last year. Tony Dungy, Herman Edwards, Lovie Smith, black coaches are being very effective in the NFL. But it did touch a little bit of a nerve when Larry Johnson talked with Chris Carter about how he was more receptive, if you will, to Herman Edwards than to Dick Vermeil. Here's Solomon Wilcox from yesterday's show.
Heard correctly, I do believe that there were some racial things implied in terms of what Larry Johnson was saying. I think he also intimated that he felt that, you know, Herman, having been a former player, was another reason that he felt he had a stronger bond and a stronger connection to Herman Edwards. So I think there were several things. I think obviously he did make it a racial issue, but I think he made it about coaches who played and those who didn't play. And so I agree with you, though. I do believe that he has to accept, you know, the responsibility of maybe some of the miscommunication that took place. Anytime there's miscommunication, it's a two-way street. It's the one who's sending the message and the one who's receiving the message. But, you know, I think also we have to listen to him, because he deserves the right to say who he responds to best. Even though we may not like his reasons for why he responds to someone more so than the other, he does get to make that call. And it's unfortunate that he would only be able to respond to someone of the same racial and cultural background as he, because I believe that we can learn from people who are quite different than we are, who have had different experiences in their backgrounds than what we have. I think we can learn from everyone.
That's Solomon Wilcox, and we're going to talk about the missing amount of black coaches in the NFL and how maybe more black coaches would improve the quality of play in the NFL. When we come back with Jarrett Bell and then with Chris Mortensen on the NFL and later with Jim Beatty. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite.
When other people say, sorry, sold out, Tickets Now says, where would you like to sit? You like to control your own destiny. You do what you want to do, and you go where you want to go. Why not sit where you want to sit? Tickets Now has the choice seats for every major sports, concert, and theater event in North America. From the 50-yard line to orchestra seats to courtside, Tickets Now has the seats you really want. With Tickets Now, buying tickets is easy. And each transaction is backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to ticketsnow.com today, where the words sold out are not a part of our vocabulary. Ticketsnow.com. That's ticketsnow.com. Ticketsnow.com. Ticketsnow.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Do you have dry skin, cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns? Then use Cracked Heel Skin Softener from Blue Goo. Cracked Heel has lecithin, lanolin, and beeswax, plus emu oil to penetrate and soften the skin. Just massage Cracked Heel into your feet twice a day and feel the difference. Your feet will thank you. No more pain from cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns. Make your next step a comfortable one with Cracked Heel Skin Softener. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Duane Reade.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. you get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information, so register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out HeadGamesRadio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
Hey, sports fans. You love Wrestling Observer Live? Can't get enough of it? Well, now you can get it delivered directly to your computer every week, automatically, so you can listen when and where you want, as many times as you want, on your PC or on your iPod. Just go to sportsbyline.com and click on the Get Podcast button and have your weekly Dave Meltzer wrestling fix delivered free. Visit sportsbyline.com today.
Yes, I was fired. It happens to most coaches. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to just lie there in the fetal position and whimper?
Welcome back to Head Games on Sirius Satellite and Sports Byline with Jarrett Bell. It's about time we had you on the show. How are you?
Pretty good, Nick. What's going on?
What are you working on these days, Jarrett? Do you guys divide responsibilities or themes or focuses or teams, or do you get a chance to basically go wherever you want to go, where no man has gone before, if you will?
Yeah, we divide up a lot of stuff, but, you know, we used to divide it by conference, and I was the AFC beat reporter for a number of years, and over the past couple of years, we just kind of dropped those designations. I think during the playoffs, I might just concentrate on one conference or another, but... you know, it allows you to get out. I mean, it's a big league, a lot of crossover and that sort of thing in terms of the conferences. And, yeah, so from week to week, you never really know with this league. You know, you never know what's hot, what's a good story, what's not a good story. But I'll tell you what, coming in tomorrow's paper, I did a piece about the roughing the passer penalties that have the rule, actually, that has fueled a lot of debate because
sure.
defensive players have been pretty hesitant. I don't know, Nick, if I've ever seen as many cases where defensive players have let quarterbacks go because they were afraid to get penalized, and then the quarterback, you know, goes on to make a play, and then I've seen a lot of ticky-tacky roughing the passer penalty. So that's just one of the things that I've been working on this week.
That's good stuff. In fact, you look at sort of the way defensive linemen go from being the vicious hitters to sort of ballet dancers when they get a little bit too close. You saw that at the end of the game with Tennessee and the Giants when Vince Young's in the grasp, and then suddenly it's as if, you know, the defensive lineman's just afraid
right.
to incur, especially at the end of the game, that penalty. Here's Merrill Hodge, by the way, from yesterday's show about the very same thing.
Mm-hmm. So that they had a full, complete book on that kid, you know, you got to give him a lot of credit. This is where I think a quarterback always has the advantage. When they go to the sideline, I think a lot of defenders tend to think, you know what, they're going to go out of bounds. They start to ease up because of all the penalties that are occurred. You know, the confusion,
yeah, worried about that
penalty. And he was like, I don't care what's going on. I'm not going to stop. You know, and I feel far sorry for defenders right now, and the quarterback, how to, you know, tackle him, how to move, do anything to him, because, you know, it's so ambiguous as to what's going to be called. You know, I hope at the end of the year they address that, and they make it a 5-yard penalty or a 15-yard penalty, and the 5-yard penalty is not a first down. They've got to do something.
I agree.
They surely are not even based on some of the things that we have seen, and I think that the officials need to clearly be taught, you know, what is roughing the passer. I don't think they know, you know.
He doesn't think, I don't think they know either. What do you think?
Well, you know, I was talking to Mike Pereira yesterday. He's the director of officiating for the NFL.
The worst job in the NFL, by the way.
Yeah, it's a pretty tough one.
That's the one where he says, by the way, he sends the note to the head coach, we blew it, sorry, but, you know, we see those every week.
Yeah, you see that. But the thing with roughing the passer, it is a judgment call. You know, some of these penalties have been cases where, you know, the quarterback got drove into the ground a little bit too hard. And how can you call that? I think I saw that situation at Seattle on a Monday night game a couple weeks ago where Cullen Jenkins, the D tackle for the Packers, hit Matt Hasselbeck, and it didn't seem like it was flagging or anything, and Hasselbeck had thrown the ball, but the guy was in the middle of his rush and just kind of followed through. They called a flag. It was an incomplete pass. That extended the drive. The Seahawks scored, and then they took control of the games. Justin Smith had a similar situation. The Cincinnati Bengals defensive end back in October. He hits Bruce Gretkowski towards the end of the game, third down,
right.
Incomplete, and it extends the drive. And then guess what? Tampa Bay kicks like a 60-yard field goal to win the game.
62.
Yeah, 62. So you've seen these types of situations, and you wonder if they've gone a little bit too far. But the thing Pereira told me yesterday, Nick, that's worth mentioning, he said that he tells his officials, when you're in doubt, call it. Okay? You know, a lot of times they say, if you're in doubt, don't do it. No. Well, you're in doubt, when you're making this judgment, go ahead and throw the flag. So that's a disadvantage for the defensive guys.
Well, there are two things that make it very difficult. The first thing is, in college, you see it still. Guys that are hitting right with a combination of their helmet and their shoulder pads, not directly on the quarterback's helmet, but right brushing against it as
right.
They make the initial hit. They may turn away, but by then it's too late. That would be called in the NFL. The second thing is, by the sidelines, the guy's coming in, he's run 35, 40 yards on the play. He's accelerating to the ball because his closing speed is the key thing as the defensive back. Now the quarterback's right there. He doesn't know if he's going to run down the sidelines. And this is what Merrill Hodge was talking about with Anderson, who's 6'4", 230-something pounds. He's a big boy.
Right.
And they don't have a book on him either. And this guy, you know, continues running up the sidelines. Now the player wants to do the honorable thing and not kill him, especially because in a heartbeat, in literally half a tenth of a second, he can go from being a foot inbounds to a yard out of bounds.
Yeah.
So what do you do in that situation?
Yeah, exactly. You pray that you don't get the flag. I think you got because once you ease up, then you give the opportunity for the quarterback to make a cutback. I mean, imagine like if it's Michael Vick. I mean, think about that. If it's Michael Vick in the scenario you just described, he could
You're
take
dead.
That and zip zap and gone. And that's the thing that is really. Yeah, got a lot of defensive players feeling like their hands are tied a bit.
You know, and you look at a Michael Vick, and you look at a Vince Young, and even a Garcia for Philadelphia, there is a wheel movement, and of course Tony Romo, towards mobile quarterbacks that extend the play. So this issue is not going away.
No, I
don't
think so.
There's too much pressure on quarterbacks. There are too many athletic defensive ends like Baltimore's, you know, where they can run like a 4.6 40. You know, these guys weigh 300 pounds. So what do offensive schemes do if they don't create more flexibility by having a quarterback like Tony Romo who injects flexibility, the ability to adapt when a play is broken?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's, you know, you make sure that your quarterbacks are good actors as well. so if they get brushed just a little bit, they can go down and maybe draw a flag. And, you know, that's the thing about football that just gets me, Nick, is when you see people playing hoping to draw a flag. I saw that a couple weeks ago when I was in New England, and I swear the Bears put up four or five deep passes that game that were really low percentage passes, and I think they threw them up thinking, well, if we don't catch the ball, we'll get a flag, and hey, a couple of those cases they did.
Yeah, and there is a tendency, and Peyton Manning is one of the best, for a quarterback, especially in the late part of the season, to underthrow the ball because the defensive back is taught to keep his eye on the receiver and he tends to overplay the ball. And at the last second, the receiver, especially if he's a large physical one, can easily step back at that last second and catch the ball.
Yeah, and that's what Jake DeLome should have done the other night in Philadelphia.
What was that?
Oh,
seriously,
man.
What happened to that? Was that a broken pattern?
Yeah, I don't think so. Remember, they scored a touchdown on a similar fade to the corner with Keyshawn. And, you know, I was talking to one of my buddies here in the office today, and he said he thought Keyshawn jumped too early. And that's why, you know, he was out of position, and the ball was way over, and Keyshawn jumped, and the ball goes over his head. So maybe there was something to that. But, you know, my problem with the play as it was, it's a three-point game. You don't want to risk a turnover. Remember Carolina lost that game in Cincinnati a few weeks ago where they're in position to tie the game with a field goal and they throw an interception. Well, they do it again. So maybe you call a different pattern, something low, tight, that nobody can get to except for your guy, or, hey, run the ball in.
So I have this ritual where Monday night I'm riding next to Charles Barkley here in Scottsdale at the Athletic Club, and he's got his $10,000 on whoever is, you know, the Monday night game. That he was doing the over and under. I'm learning from Charles, and he's got a problem, but at least he's honest enough to admit it. And I love the guy, but you know, it's it was interesting to hear him say, when we're talking about great quarterbacks, and I think Delhomme is so close because for 58 minutes he is a good quarterback, but the difference between the great and the average players is the great ones don't make the horrible mistakes.
Yeah, because if you don't make the horrible mistake, at least you can play to the next play. That kind of crosses all... that kind of transcends a lot of situations and a lot of sports, no question.
Well, when we come back, Jared Bell from USA Today, we're going to be joined by Chris Mortensen, and we're going to talk about tackling fundamentals, how many drop passes in the NFL, the horrible tackling around the AFC versus the NFC, and why the AFC has the advantage. And finally, we're going to talk about Larry Johnson's comments with Chris Carter about whether he was more responsive to a black coach, and maybe we do need to have more black coaches because they sure seem to be doing a great job. We'll be right back on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite.
Hi, I'm Robert Wagner with an important message for homeowners 62 years or older. If you own a home, you may be able to pay off your current mortgage or access the equity in your home without making any monthly loan payments. That's right, no monthly loan payments. A U.S. government-insured reverse mortgage allows you to convert the equity in your home into cash, giving you the financial independence you deserve. The tax-free proceeds won't affect Social Security or Medicare benefits, and you can use the money for almost any purpose you desire. The Senior Lending Network program has prepared a free educational video that explains how a reverse mortgage works, how to qualify, and how you can supplement your income without any monthly loan payments. If you're a homeowner 62 years or older, your free video is waiting. So call now.
For a free educational video from the Senior Lending Network on reverse mortgages, call 800-995-4280. 800-995-4280.
Senior Lending Network is a program by Mortgage Warehouse, licensed mortgage banker, New York State Banking Department. Callers' information will be shared with lenders who are members of the program. Consult your tax advisor regarding tax implications.
This is Merlin Olson. Have you called the NASE yet? The National Association for the Self-Employed is one of your best resources to obtain access to affordable health, dental, vision, and critical illness plans. The NASC also offers other health, business, and personal benefits. If you are self-employed or own a small business, do what I did. Call the National Association for the Self-Employed. Call today to find out how the NASC can be your best resource for affordable benefits.
Call the NASC now. 800-839-4648, 800-839-4648. Big solutions for small businesses. Insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. Association membership may not be required to obtain insurance, so call right now. 800-839-4648, 800-839-4648. Not available in all states.
How would you like to cut your credit card payments by 30% or more? Genesis Financial can help. They have a program that can reduce your high interest rates to single digits or even 0%. You can get more cash in your pocket every month to ease the stress and burden of excessive credit card bills.
Genesis Financial helped us, so we can sleep at night again.
We can even answer our phone.
The weight's been lifted off our shoulders.
Working with Genesis, we truly feel like our prayers were answered.
Get a fresh start without going bankrupt, plus get hundreds of dollars back in your pocket. Call now for a free, no-obligation consultation. Let them show you how to cut your debt by 30% or more and save you thousands in interest, late fees, and penalties. The consultation is absolutely free. Call 800-470-4331. That's 800-470-4331. Don't wait another minute.
Genesis Financial gave us our life back.
Not available in all states. Individual results may vary. Genesis Financial, 800-470-4331.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
Welcome back to Head Games with our good friend Jared Bell from USA Today. We'll be joined in a minute or two by Chris Mortensen. And let's start off by your philosophy as you analyze some of these teams. Chicago with just a devastating defense, no offense, almost like a repeat of last year, the last few games as well. Len Dawson on Monday's show, Jared, talked about the confusion he had as he watched the Chiefs game against Derek Anderson, a guy who had never taken a snap in the NFL, why the Chiefs didn't blitz him. Here's Len Dawson.
Personally, what I would have done would have had all-out blitz right from the get-go against this young guy. And, you know, to try to confuse him. They did that against Rivers when San Diego came here. They did that against Cincinnati in the first game, at least initially, and they had some success doing that. But for some reason, they decided not to do that in the ball game yesterday. A lot of people are asking the same question you're asking.
So what do you think that is about? When teams suddenly, the old thing about the prevent defense, in a way, the teams suddenly get passive when the most important and intelligent and obvious thing to do against an inexperienced quarterback late in the game is to throw everything you have on him.
Yeah, I think on the surface you say that, and how can you argue against that? But, you know, I didn't see that particular game, Nick, but when I hear about, you know, this whole scenario, the first thing I think is that if you're ahead in a game, you don't want to blitz and allow yourself to be open for a big play and a quick strike and something that could, you know, give them points in a hurry. That's my thinking, and that's the whole philosophy behind the whole prevent defense, too. I'm not saying they're in a prevent, but, you know, when you blitz, you give up some protection back there. That's probably what they were thinking, but, you know, that's just my guess.
Well, you're writing an article which is in tomorrow's paper, I understand, about, you know, the difficulty of these rules with regard to roughing the passer, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
How much of it is about fundamentals as well? Here's Solomon Wilcox from yesterday's show, because it seems to me, late in the season, whether it's catching passes or making tackles, some teams just lose that edge.
And so the fundamentals, on both sides of the ball, that's why you have a lot of drop balls. You have all these problems with fundamentals on the back end of the season, in the second half of the year, particularly in the month of December. And then speaking with Andy Reid, he said it is the most difficult thing for a coach is try to not only schedule in time for repping out your assignments, which we all know is most important, but also try to make sure that those fundamentals, blocking, tackling, catching the ball, those things don't erode. It is a difficult challenge for coaches as they try to map out their daily schedule.
One of the fundamentals is tackling, blocking, et cetera. Those are fundamentals. But another form of fundamentals probably emerging on the scene is how do you read that situation late in the game, you know, when you have to hit that quarterback? How do you practice fundamentals in that sense so that you don't incur that penalty? Does that make sense?
You have to try to address it. I think, you know, it's very tough to practice being physical. And, you know, when you get to this point in the season, even, you know, throughout the season, so much is about physical preservation, Nick. You know, you don't want to get guys hurt. Guys are trying to heal up. They, you know, a lot of cases where guys can't practice or need to be limited because of injury. So that's the one half of it is that you've got to look at the injury report and the medical list and figure out what you can do and what you can't do. The other thing is that you can't go all out in practice or you add to that injury list. I was talking to Mike Holmgren about this a couple of weeks ago because the Seahawks' run defense has been atrocious. I mean, and I think the problem that they've had has just been what you just pointed to, fundamental tackling. It's just not been there. And, you know, I asked Holmgren what could he do at this point in the season to try to improve that. Now, if he had a college team, he could probably, you know, really be physical in practices and go at it, and that way, you know, guys are sure to wrap up. But since you can't do that in this situation, you emphasize it with the film study and you hope that they get it. And then when they get to go full speed, you hope that they wrap up and do what they're supposed to do. But the first thing they have to do is identify the problem and then have players in position to make the plays. And then the thing you can't practice is to finish the play.
And that's a pretty tough thing to not finish. And speaking of people that do finish, one of the great pros covering the NFL, Chris Mortensen. How are you, my friend?
Good, Nick. Hey, Jarrett.
Hey, how you doing, Mort?
Hey, man.
Good.
Listen, Merrill Hodge talked on yesterday's show about the fact that maybe there should be, Chris, a bit more of a specialized rule for hitting the quarterback when he's going out of bounds. Derek Anderson, overtime, big boy. The guys lay off him. They don't want to hit him because suddenly it's in a half second, in a tenth of a second, he's 1 yard out of bounds, and it's a penalty, and the game's almost over. What do you think about that? Should they have a 5-yard rule that does not give a first down for those that are virtually unintentional, even if they do hit him out of bounds?
I don't know. I really don't. It's the first I've ever heard of that concept thrown out. I mean, I know there's a lot of controversy about, you know, defensive players and coaches are confused about the rules. They're hesitant. We've seen it cost teams games. And I think more of it's been focused on what's going on in the pocket for the most part, and that's going to get some discussion by the competition committee. But it's really about bringing a sharper focus to how it's called and how it's officiated.
Let's have some more fun about the AFC versus the NFC. Clearly, the AFC is more dominant: San Diego, Denver, Chiefs, Indy, the Patriots. What are the teams that you believe Chris Mortensen and Jarrett are going to have a chance at the end there? Chicago in turmoil at quarterback, Dallas finding itself in a beautiful way recently, Seattle finding itself. Who are your favorites?
Well, go ahead. Let's start with Chris. Okay, well, listen, my feeling is it's no different than last year. You know, last year when Seattle played Pittsburgh, even though the score may not indicate it, if you were at the game, you watched that game down by down, you said, you know what, Seattle's the better team, or certainly they might be the better team, even though the AFC was the superior conference. So to me, I think Dallas probably right now I'd give a slight edge to because of the way Grossman's playing in Chicago. But I see, watch out for the New York Giants. If they get Strahan back and if they get Luke Pettigrew back, and they're supposed to, in time for the playoffs, say they make it, then I think they're very dangerous. And Seattle, like Jared was just talking about, you know, they thought their defense was going to be better this year. If for some reason it starts to make that improvement in the last couple weeks, I say watch out for them too.
Yeah, because their offense, I think the thing with the Seahawks is that, you know, with Hasselbeck healthy and Sean Alexander healthy, they can do a lot of things, can keep teams off balance. But when their offense is clicking, that actually helps their defense because they can control the clock, keep the defense fresher. So much for what they do as a team revolves around that offense. So I think, yeah, they're one of these teams you're going to really have to keep an eye on down the stretch and into the playoffs.
With those two teams that have balance on offense and defense, do you give an edge to them, Chris Mortensen, over Chicago right now?
Yeah, because the quarterback play is going to be better by any of those teams, whether it's the Giants or the Cowboys or Seattle. The quarterback play is going to be infinitely better than what the Bears are getting out of Rex Grossman.
Yeah,
so
would you be starting Brian Griese,
Jarrett?
Well, you know, that's a tough thing because you have to see it play itself out. You can sit here right now and say, put Brian Griese in, and who knows what you're going to get, and how is it going to be significantly better, and how is that going to affect everything? I mean, obviously, they've committed to Rex Grossman for a reason, and they're trying to play it out that way. But I don't know if you can just expect Brian Griese to come in and give them that big of a spark. But when it's do or die in the playoffs, sometimes you try things, but I'm not feeling that one.
I don't think Rex Grossman can have a game like he did this past Sunday. If he has a repeat performance of this past Sunday, I think Greasy will get a shot.
I agree. I don't see there's any other alternative. In fact, if you have a caretaker quarterback that simply hands the ball off, doesn't turn the ball over, even if he's only getting 70, 80 yards a game, at this point, Chicago's going to, I think, improve simply because they're not killing themselves. Let's talk about the Larry Johnson interview with Chris Carter. It's not a fun subject, but it's a real subject. The fact that the NFL's been criticized for not having enough black coaches in the league. You look at last year with Tony Dungy, Herman Edwards, Lovie Smith, Marvin Lewis. Black coaches have been very successful. Here's Solomon Wilcox from yesterday's show.
I do believe that there were some racial things implied in terms of what Larry Johnson was saying. I think he also intimated that he felt that, you know, Herman, having been a former player, was another reason that he felt he had a stronger bond and a stronger connection to Herman Edwards. So I think there are several things. I think obviously he did make it a racial issue, but I think he made it about coaches who played and those who didn't play. And so I agree with you, though. I do believe that he has to accept, you know, the responsibility of maybe some of the miscommunication that took place.
Let's start with Jarrett. Do you think that was simply a young player feeling his oats, knowing that he had to say something to express the frustration that he had early in his career, which I firsthand witnessed with Dick Vermeil? Or do you think that really was, to some degree, exhibiting honestly some of the racial undertones in the league?
Well, you know, it's probably a combination of all of that, Nick. You know, sometimes if you connect with someone and you have some similarities, such as race,
you could look at that and feel like that that's not a factor in how they are treating you. But I think sometimes if you have a situation with someone and a difference of opinion, and that person, you wonder why, and that just gives you something sometimes to point to as a possibility, and it may not even be the case, you know? But you can think, well, maybe this is why this is, because Larry Johnson could be with another black coach and not hit it off, and then you wonder, well, what's the reason, and it could be something else. So it's a fine line, but I'm kind of agreeing with what Solomon said when I saw the comments from Larry, too, the thing that he said about, you know, Herm being a former player, that has to go a long way in how he's able to relate. But, you know, frankly... Yeah. You know, there's
the difficulty is that it was Dick Vermeil, who most people would say is one of the great players coaches of all time. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about this for a few more minutes with Chris Mortensen.
I got to get running, guys.
Chris, thank you, sir. Okay, when we come back, we'll have a little... Thank you, sir. When we come back, more with Jared Bell and Jim Beattie on baseball, on Head Games, on Sports Byline, and Sirius Satellite.
If you're self-employed or you run a small business and you need competitive health insurance, pick up the phone and call the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. 866-503-MEGA. You don't even have to leave your home or office. Call us now and a friendly Mega Health representative will come to you and explain your health insurance options. So again, if you're self-employed, run a small business, or if you're on a COBRA plan and it's about to expire and you need dependable, reliable health insurance, call Mega Health now for a free quote. 866-503-MEGA. 866-503-MEGA. That's 866-503-MEGA. These competitive health insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company, and coverage may not be available in all states. So call now and see if you qualify. 866-503-MEGA. 866-503-MEGA. That's 866-503-MEGA.
Petroni Vineyards produces the world's finest gold medal estate wines, prized by wine connoisseurs and enthusiasts. Experience Petroni Vineyards Paggio alla Pietra with its rich, seductive flavors. And Petroni Vineyards Tuscan-style extra virgin olive oil is prized by gourmets to create sumptuous recipes. To enjoy these culinary delights, visit PetroniVineyards.com and become a wine club member today. PetroniVineyards.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
George Rosen III from the renowned Hallmark Institute of Photography.
If you are like many of our incoming students, you're wondering if now's the time to make an important change in your life. If you're serious about a career in which you can earn a living and be happy, and photography is your passion, our 10-month intensive program is your ticket to change. Don't wait any longer. Visit us at hallmark.edu. I'm George Rosen III, president of Hallmark Institute of Photography, where our mission is your success.
Hallmark Institute of Photography, 413-863-2478.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell. Join me Saturday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern till 1 a.m. It's the Weekend Sports Page. You'll hear from Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe, ESPN, the sports reporters, Dick Hoops White's New York Daily News on the world of college football and college basketball, and a weekly contribution from New York Times bestselling sports author John Feinstein. The Weekend Sports Page, 10 East, here on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network and Sirius Channel 122.
Well, I don't like to politicize it because it's not about being a Democrat or Republican. They both suck, to be honest with you.
And now, back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
Welcome back with Jared Bell from USA Today. We want to thank Chris Mortensen. Here's a little bit more of a clip from Solomon Wilcott about, well, you do have to listen to your players.
I think also we have to listen to him because he deserves the right to say who he responds to best. Even though we may not like his reasons for why he responds to someone more so than the other, he does get to make that call.
What do you think about that, Jarrett?
That's interesting, and I'm sure there's definitely some merit to that. I think the thing is that you want diversity. I mean, you know, your coaching staff, the people that are working in your organizations, because different people do indeed respond to different people in different ways. And I think that's the thing that's kind of been at the root of the situation with coaches in the NFL for a number of years, is that diversity just wasn't there. And sometimes that diversity doesn't, you know, reflect itself in the head coach. It may be an assistant coach or position coach or coordinator or some person like that, someone in the front office. But I think that the more differing viewpoints you have and different people that you have that bring different perspectives, you know, culturally to any situation is helpful.
Do you think ultimately Larry's comments are going to hurt or help him in terms of his relationships on the Chiefs?
Oh, I don't know if people pay a whole lot of attention to that. I think it just depends on if he keeps running for like 150 yards a game, I think they'll love him. And if he all of a sudden goes into the tank, people will have more reasons to criticize. I think that's usually what it comes down to. You know, the interesting thing about sports, and when you talk about race and society and things like that, a lot of times the performance supersedes a lot of the differences, and it can actually bring people closer together and give people opportunities to learn more about each other and things of that nature. So I think for Larry Johnson, as long as he exhibits himself as a good teammate, as long as he's not the type that's, you know, bashing on his own guys, you know, in that regard, as we've seen, and being selfish and things like that, I think that would hurt him more than him expressing his opinions.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's sort of the Muhammad Ali syndrome, that when you have a stage where you are the best or one of the very best, that you have that space created to say some things and get away with some things, even that you might. But to me,
you know what, Nick, to cut you off for a second though, the one thing that Larry Johnson has that a lot of people don't have in his situation is that he's the son of a coach, so he probably does have an opinion that is a little bit deeper than the average guy, because he probably looks at coaches and values the impact of coaches differently than a lot of players, just because he grew up in that environment.
I agree with that. I just find it interesting when a player takes that. It takes some courage to open that up. And I want your perspective as an African-American journalist at the highest level. When a Solomon Wilcots and a Tim Brown and a Michael Irvin and a Stuart Scott and a lot of the outstanding black journalists are able to tell stories that weren't really available to them 15, 20 years ago, that also creates more of this diversity. And so in a way, maybe that influences the dialogue, and maybe in turn, even though the NFL's not doing as much as it could, when you compare it to college football, where it's like 2%, it's doing a great job.
Oh, no question about that. And I think, you know, even in our business, in the media business, I mean, there's cries for more diversity. I mean, it's in a lot of areas of society that you can look at situations and wonder if the playing field could be more level. In a football context, yeah, you're right. The colleges, you'd expect colleges to kind of lead the way on this, seeing that most of them are public institutions and that sort of thing, but that really hasn't been the case. So the NFL has been a good example, and even, you know, when you think about other pro sports like the NBA, where they've been a lot more willing to hire black coaches historically for, you know, way longer than the NFL, I think that's one of the positives that you could hope that could continue to manifest.
One of the fun things we like to do on the show, Jarrett Bell from USA Today, is to crossbreed people from different sports. And yesterday we put Peter Costas on the spot, who's a golf expert for CBS, talking about the Rex Grossman thing. But you know what he said? He said something very interesting. He said, under pressure, some players know how to slow down the game. And clearly, if you look at college and the pros, Rex Grossman has not proven that in those situations things slow down the way, in any way, they did for Dan Marino. And we're joined by Jim Beattie to talk about this crossbreeding theme, which is, in this case, racial issues in sport. Just briefly, Jim, we're talking about Larry Johnson and his comments about Dick Vermeil, essentially that even though Dick is a player's coach, or was a player's coach, that there was a gap in his understanding that inhibited his ability to take criticism from Dick that is not there with Herman Edwards. What would be your comment as you look at relations in baseball, where there's only about 8, 9, 10% of the players African-American, in terms of what a difference it would make if there were more African-American coaches?
Hey, Nick. Yeah, that is an interesting question, and one as a baseball executive that we always keep a look at, because essentially your players are your clients. And when you're out there and you're trying to get your clients, not necessarily to buy your product, but to perform at their highest level, you need to be able to connect with them. And in baseball, and I'm sure, you know, most sports, maybe not so much basketball because they don't have a lot of coaches, but football certainly is applies to that. We try to build our coaching staff, if not just our manager, but at least our coaching staff, to be able to bridge some of those cultural, racial, however you want to put it, and primarily with us in baseball, there are a lot of Latin players. We need to have coaches that not only speak Latin, but understand where the Latin players are coming from. And the difficulty there is a Venezuelan kid is not like a Dominican kid, is not like a Puerto Rican kid, is not like a Mexican kid. They're different cultures. And sometimes we as, you know, Americans sometimes lump them all together, and you really can't do that.
Jarrett Bell, before we let you go, I want to thank you so much. Any final comments in terms of the improvement and the demonstration of the quality of African-American coaches like a Tony Dungy, like a Marvin Lewis, like a Lovie Smith? Do you think that you're going to see an acceleration now in the availability of head coaching jobs?
Well, I don't know. In a dramatic acceleration, I don't know. I think the thing that, you know, the Fritz Pollard Alliance has been really active in trying to create opportunities for a lot of coaches. And I think with the success that Marvin Lewis and Tony Dungy and Lovie Smith and coaches like that have had, it kind of, you know, it's a copycat league. And so it opens the door to get people in the discussion, to get people into the interviews, to get those opportunities. I don't think that that's going to go backward at this point.
Well, thanks for joining us. We love your work, and we'll be looking for that article tomorrow about roughing the passer, that poor, as Sam Huff said on Monday's show, that poor little guy with a skirt on named a quarterback.
Okay, Nick, hey, I appreciate you having me. You have a good weekend.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Jarrett Bell from USA Today. Now, Jim Beattie, money is raining everywhere. J.D. Drew goes to Boston. Maddox goes to San Diego. Schmidt goes to L.A. And it looks like the Giants are in trouble. What's going on?
Well, you know, Nick, really the first indication that there was money in baseball and people weren't necessarily fighting over it is that how smoothly and how quietly there was a new agreement between the players' union and the owners. And now we're seeing why there's a different collective bargaining agreement in place that kind of changes how much a have team like the Yankees and that have $100 million plus payrolls have to spend. They used to have a large tax on their payroll if it went over such and such a point. In the past, it was around 127, got up to 137. Now it's even higher, and it's gone down from a tax down into about 30% tax by and large. So the money is out there. I think the teams are saying, and then there's always a different scenario. There are some teams that need to turn it around. The Cubs need to turn it around. They've spent money on payroll and have not had any success in the last couple of years. There are other teams that are saying, that, like the Seattle Mariners, who have had money for the last 5 or 8 years and are saying, we need to spend more, we need to turn this thing around. People are, and I was just listening to the radio here in Baltimore this morning, Jay Gibbons, player with the Orioles, last year signed a contract, maybe thinking why he signed, because now he's thinking, he said, the money out there that we're seeing right now seems to be extreme. He said, we love it. We're players. We love that money going into our pockets. But even for a player to understand the levels of the pay that's going out, those contracts that are going out, I think there are players that have signed maybe in the last year or two are kind of banging their heads against the wall and saying, why didn't I think of that?
And what makes J.D. Drew in Boston so valuable that, I mean, that's $70 million. Is he really worth it?
Well, the big thing with J.D. Drew is if he's going to be on the field every day. In the past, in this past year, He really walked away from a contract, I think, with the Dodgers that was guaranteeing him $12 million for the next year or two. I don't remember the length of it, but he obviously, his agent, Scott Boras, felt like this was a market that was going to reward him with a little bit more. I don't know why J.D. Drew would have walked away from the Dodgers. They had a successful season this year that they could build on, but he decided maybe he didn't like playing in L.A. It certainly is going to be a different tempo playing in Boston for him, so he's going to have to make some big changes. You know, he originally did not sign with the Philadelphia Phillies, and there were some problems with him there, and those are tough fans. Now, going to Boston, those are tough fans, and if he stays on the field, he will be a good player. I mean, he is a guy that can help you win. He's not a key player for you, necessarily. He's not necessarily going to be a big bat in the lineup, but he's going to be a very solid player. The only question with him in his career has been, how healthy can he stay?
What do you think is the more of the masterstroke, the Dodgers signing Schmidt, getting him away from their competitor in the Giants, or Maddux going to San Diego?
Oh, I think Schmidt. I mean, obviously Maddux has been a great pitcher, but he's getting a little long in the tooth. He just signed a one-year contract with the Padres. He lives, closer to San Diego. Maybe that's what his thinking was, but he lives in the Southern California. He also lives in Las Vegas in the offseason. So I guess with that money, you probably have a couple houses these days. But I think Schmidt is going to be a help for the Dodgers. As you know, Maddux was only there for part of this past year. Schmidt, again, if he stays healthy, he's had some health problems over the last couple of years, but if he stays healthy, he's a bigger performer every day out there every 5 days out there than Maddux would be. And Maddux would be a good match with San Diego. I mean, the Dodgers, L.A. Stadium is a nice pitcher's ballpark, and Maddux leaving Wrigley certainly felt a lot more comfortable in L.A. than he did in Wrigley, and San Diego is going to be similar to that.
Finally, this Mike Piazza going to Oakland for $8.5 million to be a DH, to end pretty much his career as a catcher. What do you think the trade-off is there in terms of Piazza versus Frank Thomas and what he brought to the A's last year?
Well, Piazza in a crunch can be a backup, but primarily they got him as a bat. The big thing there is Piazza's been a National League player. He does not know any of the pitching in the American League, although there's been obviously some guys that have gone to the American League, but Frank Thomas knew the American League. So going over to Oakland, he didn't have a big learning curve. There's going to be a fairly steep learning curve for Piazza. It's going to take him a little while. He's got to learn what it's like to be a DH. Never done that. Mentally, how do you prepare? Frank had all that stuff going for him. Going into that, Frank had a little more motivation too, coming off some bad years. Piazza, I think, is just, you know, he's got a year, he's got maybe two, he's got maybe three, but his career is starting to go downhill, and Frank was trying for a bounce back, and bounce back he did.
We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll ask Jim Beattie, our head games baseball correspondent, about what the next big free agent signing will be. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite.
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner? Why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that's helped thousands of people just like you regrow their hair?
It's been 3 months now. I've been on Avacor, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old.
We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Avacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair. Call 800-450-9743 for your risk-free trial of Avacor. Call now, 800-450-9743. All of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Avacor absolutely free.
Avacor really works. I just love it. It's like a miracle. I couldn't be happier.
Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. That's 800-450-9743. 800-450-9743.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster. It's the stock market. But it doesn't have to be a rough ride. Just subscribe to Barron's, America's premier financial weekly.
Subscribe now and get 13 weeks of Barron's for only $39. Each fact-filled issue brings you investing insights, market information, and special reports you won't find anywhere else. Special reports that include the best-performing companies, mutual fund managers, and the outlook for stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. That's not all. Subscribe today and you'll also get Barron's Guide to Building Wealth, plus 4 weeks of Barron's Online free with your paid subscription. All the tools you need to make smarter investment decisions. That's 13 weeks of Barron's plus the Guide to Building Wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's Online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S.
Call now, 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639.
Do you want to own a brand new computer and improve your credit score at the same time? If you have less than perfect credit but can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, then you're already approved for a brand new Dell, HP, or other name brand computer. Guaranteed.
Bad credit? No problem. There's no credit check, so you won't be turned down. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, you're approved for your brand new name brand computer. Call 800-787-2816. Guaranteed Consumer Funding says you're approved. Give us a call today at 800-787-2816 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. Act now. We'll add over $700 in premium upgrades and an MP3 player for free. And with select models, we'll throw in a free printer. So get the computer of your dreams today and improve your credit at the same time. Call 800-787-2816. That's 800-787-2816.
Welcome back to Head Games. Tomorrow, we're going to have Bob Lee from ESPN and U Sports with Fred Eng and Dr. Andrew Jacobs. Jim Beatty, the Kansas City Royals actually bid and won the sweepstakes for Gil Mesh. Career 55-44 record, 4.65 earned run average. Those don't sound like particularly outstanding statistics, but at least a small market team had a chance.
Well, the Kansas City club, as they did a couple going into last year, really, they tried to get some more veteran players, not necessarily guys at the top of their games, but guys that can help them go out and be a little more respectable when they have to compete on a daily basis. And in getting Mesh, I'm trying to think back. I think Mesh actually may be from the Midwest. Maybe there's a connection between the new general manager, Dayton Moore, in Kansas City, and Gil Mesh. Dayton Moore was involved in some scouting before, so maybe there was a personal connection there. It seems a bit funny for me that with the money that was out there, a bit unusual for a player to go out and sign with Kansas City at this point, because Kansas City, although he'll be playing with guys, and a lot of guys, and maybe even younger than he is, with Kansas City, they are not going to be in a place where they're going to win for a year or two, and so there may be some personal situation for him that he wants to go back to the Midwest, Kansas City in particular. But hey, it's good. It's good to know that guys aren't making all their decisions these days based on money.
Jim, in our final 20 seconds, any free agent signing you see coming up here in the next few days in the sweepstakes?
Well, I don't know. I know within the next week the Red Sox have to get the deal done with Matsuzaka. So that will probably be the thing that's jumping it for the next week. I don't expect Zito to sign very soon. I think he's going to play this for a little while. I'm not sure how many suitors he has, but they're talking $16 million plus. And I had heard, although things change quickly with the Yankees, that the Yankees have stepped out if he's looking for that type of money. So we'll see what happens. Zito, I think, is the one last big player out there that people should be interested to see where he goes.
Well, we'll follow that, my friend. Thanks so much for joining us, Jim. Appreciate it, buddy.
You bet. Have a great day,
Nick. Thank you. We want to thank Chris Mortensen again from ESPN, Jared Bell from USA Today. Tomorrow, ESPN's Bob Lee from Outside the Lines and U Sports with Dr. Andrew Jacobs and Fred Eng. Check out headgamesradio.com for all the clips from all the shows. Take care. Have a good day.